So before I begin the message, I had no idea we were going to get gifts today. So I was a little at a loss for words. Thank you so much for the scrapbook. I had heard that you were putting together a scrapbook, but I imagined, you know, it was going to be a couple of pages long. I didn't expect this big album. So it's probably going to take us a couple hours maybe to get through that. But thank you so much. Rhea and I, we've been so blessed by CCC. We feel like every month is Pastor Appreciation Month. Every week, we feel like people are really just blessing us, praying for us, you know, just really encouraging us. It's not difficult to pastor here because we have so much joy, and we're so thankful for all your support, truly. I wish I could say it better, but maybe I got a month to say it, so maybe I'll say something more next week. I don't know. So let's get back to the Word. Today, I wanted to talk a little bit about growing in Christ. I've been doing this in the English congregation. I've been challenging the English congregation about different ways that we can grow. And I've been focusing on 2 Peter chapter 1. So today is sort of a part of that series, but I'm not going to be focusing on 2 Peter. I wanted to talk about something that we can all grow in. And what I wanted to talk about was growing in the ministry of mercy. And before I get into that, I want to talk about how this is probably one of the hardest ministries to grow in. And why is that? Because if you want to grow in the ministry of mercy, you have to realize that God has called us to help those who are undeserving. And what do I mean by that? It is very hard to help people that you think are undeserving, myself included. Especially if you have a background like my family, maybe you have a background like this, you're the child of immigrants, and you know that if you're like a second-generation child in Asian-American context, my parents came over in the 1970s when many Korean-Americans came over with the hope that North America would have a better quality of life for their children. And so they came with nothing. They came with a lot of hope and a lot of determination. So many of them came to this country in poverty, and they came with very little education, very little resources. But because they had such passion to help their family, they turned things around, and many of them ended up earning a living for their families. Many of them earned enough money that they could send their children to good colleges. And so there is this tremendous burden, I think, on Asian Americans, is that we feel we have to honor this legacy that, you know, truly hard work and determination will get you success. And so when we look at people who are not successful, who are not doing well, we look at them as undeserving because we come from a background where we really had to struggle. And we think, like, well, because we made it and we struggled, you know, if you just struggle, you'll make it too. But if you study society and statistics, we realize there are many factors at work. It's not just about hard work. If we rate people whether they're deserving or not, our love becomes very small. We get very picky about who we say is deserving of our love and not. It is very easy to love and take care of those who are deserving, to our opinion, and who are close to us. Sacrifice and generosity are much easier if we have a close connection to people. But strangers are a different matter. I remember when I was living in Japan for a while, I walked into a restaurant and I didn't realize that the owners were actually Korean. And they found out I was Korean and immediately we became friends. They gave me like food, you know, they wanted to talk about my life because they found this connection with us. You know, and I think Asian people are very good at this. You know, we just meet and like, oh, you're from my village? Oh, you understand my dialect? You know, immediately you become friends and you want to help them. But then you find out, oh, wait, they're from a different background, different class, different education. Not my problem, you know? Not interested. It's interesting how quickly we change. And a lot of that is because of our background. Some of you know that I was an East Asian Studies major. And I don't know Chinese, but I do know that, you know, all Asian languages pretty much came from Chinese. So even Koreans and Japanese, our language came from the characters. So I know that the character for foreigner literally means outside person. Right? Is this right? Yeah. Outside person. And That's an interesting way to look at foreigner. You see, in Asian culture, what we talk often about is that if you are on the outside, you are not our problem. But if you're Asian, you have to take care of the people on the inside. The inside people are your family and your friends. Anyone who's on outside, leave them to the other people because they have someone else to take care of them. And that's how society should work. Many people will say, you know, it's hard enough for the people in my inside circle to make a living in this world. It's too much work to take care of the people on the outside too. And so I know when I was growing up, my mother said, you know, don't sleep over at your friend's house, you know, because that would be such a burden. I feel so embarrassed. Like, you know, I'd ask another parent to take care of my child. You know, don't do that. You know, I didn't understand that because all my friends used to do that. But it's that understanding of take care of only the inside and leave the outside to somebody else. And there are some good things about that. I appreciate Asian culture and how there is such loyalty with family. But it's also to be noted that in Asian American families, very few Asian Americans are involved in social concerns because we're not interested in the people outside. You know, very few of us are interested in learning about the importance of being a bone marrow donor, which is really a need for the Asian community. Because we think that's not our problem, that's on the outside. But what is God's challenge for us? This may be our cultural background, but sometimes our culture and Jesus' culture comes face to face and it challenges us. What is God's challenge for us? And we read this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. In Matthew 5, Jesus takes Old Testament scripture and he says, you know, for the longest time, you people have been misinterpreting this. Let me tell you what it really means. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, 48, Jesus says this, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Jesus is saying here in Matthew chapter 5, if we only care for those who are close to us or who we think are deserving, Jesus argues that even the pagans do that. The non-believers already do that. Surely it is easy to love those who love us back. Christ's model for love is very different from the cultures and patterns of our world. And this is what brings us to today's scripture reading. The Apostle Paul challenges us to think, if you want to think about ministry, if you want to think about giving, don't look at the world as your example. Look at your cultural background as the example. Look at Jesus Christ as the model. And what does Jesus Christ give us as the model? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Is that even though, consider Jesus Christ, you know that God's grace in Jesus Christ, he was poor. He made himself poor so that you could become rich. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus Christ had all the riches, all the authority, all the power in the world, but he gave that up so that you may benefit from his mercy. There was nothing in Jesus that needed to reach out to you. You were on the outside. You were the foreigner to Jesus. But what Jesus did was he crossed the boundaries and he reached out to you, even though you're undeserving, even though you had nothing. He made himself poor that you could be rich in his love. Even though Jesus Christ was rich and poor, powerful, he made himself poor so that he could bless us with mercy. The Apostle Paul challenges the church of Corinth to be generous in their giving for the sake of Christ. Consider how generous God is and how he gave unto us when we were in our sins and not even seeking him, when we were undeserving. The Word of God clearly revealed to us what life would look like if we turned away from God. Yet we have been choosing the same thing since Adam. We are deserving of judgment for our love of sin. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent us a Savior. rather than sending us a judge as we deserve, God sent us someone who forgives. Isn't that amazing? You know, we talk about in this world, oh, we can't help those people. They don't deserve the help. They don't deserve the help. They don't deserve this. They don't deserve that. And Jesus just turns around to us. He says, well, did you deserve any love from God? No. If you want to really think about what you deserve, it's judgment. But rather than judgment, Jesus sent a Savior instead. How amazing is this love of God? How generous. In the Psalms, you can hear the psalmist sigh with relief in Psalm 103, verse 10. He says, blessed be God who does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. How amazing that we have a God who does not treat us as our sins deserve. And if this is the model of mercy in Jesus Christ, we have to ask the question, how can CCC grow in the ministry of mercy as well? And so what I want to do in this second half of the message is just to throw out three questions to our church. As we go forward, you know, we've been around for 75 years, and I know that God is not finished with the ministry here. If we want to grow forward and grow in the ministry of mercy, we have to ask ourselves three hard questions. And I'd like you to think about this maybe during the week, maybe pray about it amongst your congregations. And how can we all grow in the ministry of mercy? And the first question is this. How can we be a place where the undeserving and lost are welcome? And I ask this. I want to ask the church, are we willing to let go of our guard a little so that we may reach out to those who no one else reaches out to? If our church is only filled with those who already know the hope of Christ, we are keeping out those who are in need of the good news. There are people in this world that no one wants to reach out to, and that is exactly who Jesus was attracted to. He went to the prostitutes and tax collectors because no one else wanted to deal with them. What kind of people are there in our neighborhood that no one wants to deal with? How should we respond to them if we know that our Lord became poor for our sake? How could we empty ourselves of our privileges, of our resources, so that we can help these people that no one is helping? And you know, I want to encourage CCC is that the good news is that I see it already at work here. I got a wonderful email from Thomas and Celia recently, just thanking all the church leaders, everyone who helped out at all of the outreaches that we've been having for the past couple of weeks. And I hope you guys don't mind. I just wanted to quote your email. And they wrote this. They said, after joint choir practice yesterday, we took a stroll around Chinatown, reflecting on the history of our community as well as our church. As we turned the corner and gazed upon the renovated church building, we couldn't help but praise God for his wonderful grace. Who are we that he is mindful of us? He put us right in the heart of Chinatown for a purpose, and he allowed us to renovate also for a purpose. And this purpose will not grow old. Together, may we push towards his mark and run the good course. We have heard many sayings of how CCC is the beacon of DC Chinatown. Indeed, we want to be, and so far, we're the only Chinese church in DC. The only one that does not go to the suburban area to care for the high-tech and high-income neighborhoods. We stay with the underserved. What a responsibility and testimony we are to bear, and that has touched us tremendously. Thank you. I'm just getting choked up reading it. Thank you for sharing that. You know, I remember last year when we did this year when we did the Chinese New Year outreach, we had hundreds of people packed downstairs. And I was so touched because I remember this moment when we were all listening to the message, I realized, you know, these hundreds of people that are here in our building, they will never go out to the suburbs. There will be no church that they go to except for ours. Many of them have never been to a church but our church. If we don't touch them with the gospel, no one will. No one's coming into the city. We're the last ones left. And people look at them and they're thinking, you know, man, we sure did spend a lot of money on food. We did. We spent a lot of time reaching out to these people. We did. Many of them didn't come back, you know. That's true. But is that the reason that we're doing it? CCC is called to reach out to those who are lost. They're called to reach out to those who are undeserving. And the undeserving people, it's all of us right now, sitting here. There is no difference between the people downstairs in Chinatown or the people sitting here right now. We have to realize that if we are serious about reaching out to the undeserving and lost, we are going to open our doors to people that are not like us, that make us uncomfortable, that people that threaten us even. But this is our calling in Jesus Christ. And why do we reach out to them? Not for our glory, but because Jesus Christ became poor for our sake, so that we could be rich in mercy. And so the second question is this: how can we wisely extend ourselves to people in desperate need of grace? And I really want to stress this, is that let us pray for God to give us wisdom about when to be generous and welcoming and when to give out tough love. As I was preparing this message, I felt like God just gave me a little teaching lesson this week in the community center. I'm sure Shirley knows about this, but you know, at the community service center this week, I was reminded that, you know, we're called to serve people, but we always have to think about what is ultimately pleasing to God. As any good parent knows, this doesn't mean that we're just here to make everybody happy. We must be wise as serpents, as Paul says, and innocent as doves. We have to love in such a way where God is most revealed. Loving the lost is tricky business. And we have to pray for wisdom. We have to ask God, what is the wise way to love? You know, some people, we think, you know, the way that we love is we're just going to help whatever anyone wants, we're just going to give it to them. And that's not wise. The whole reason that we are reaching out to Chinatown, the reason that we're reaching out to all of you here is that we want to reveal more of who Jesus Christ is. And that's the bottom line. How can we be wise in our love? And sometimes there's tough questions. I remember this week, I was just praying, like, you know, sometimes being merciful is hard work. And it's, the temptation is, okay, I just don't want to think about it. I'll just help whoever, or I'm not going to help anyone at all. And Jesus says, I don't want you to do either. I want you to pray for me. Pray with me every day. Pray for wisdom. Because God has prepared special works for us, special things. And he's asking for us to seek the wisdom to know how to do it. So let us pray for wisdom, how to reach out to people. And here's the third and last question I want to give to our church. How can we show unconditional love, which means no expectation of return? And what do I mean by this? I mean, this is what Jesus did, didn't he? Did Jesus die on the cross and say, okay, you better watch what I'm doing. You owe me, guys, big time, you know? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross and remind us that, like, you know, you really better give something back? That is not Christian theology. Can we join with Jesus in loving those who did not love him back? Can we join with Jesus Christ who said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing? Think of the time, energy, and resources that Jesus spent with the multitudes who gave nothing back to him, and even in the end, deserted him. Think of the mercy extended to those who are undeserving. Yet when he gave out of that love, look at how he changed the world. Whether you're Christian or not, you cannot argue that the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ changed the world. The whole Middle East was changed. The ancient Middle East was changed by the sacrificial love and ministry of Jesus Christ. Not all of them called themselves believers, but Jesus Christ made a huge difference. CCC might be called to do great sacrifices in the future for the sake of Jesus Christ, and we might not get a return for it. Maybe we don't get to fill up our pews as much as we like. Maybe we don't get as much money as we like. Maybe we don't get as much donations as we like. But that is not why we're doing the ministry of mercy. Can we join with Jesus, who loved those who did not love him back? Jesus Christ gives us a hard teaching today, is that we are called to be people of mercy. And so I remember when I was preparing for this message, I was like, wow, this is hard. When I had that episode in the Chinatown Community Service Center, I was thinking about, but this is ministry, isn't it? For this end that we labor and toil, so that Jesus Christ may be glorified and known in our community. It is such an honor and privilege to be associated with CCC. Let us continue to grow in the mercy of ministry, because that is what Jesus Christ is all about. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your rich and generous mercy. We thank you, God, that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. We thank you that, God, you give us more than we could ask, think, or imagine in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, right now we humble ourselves and we ask that you would open our hearts. Would you make our hearts bigger, our hands wider, so that we may love with the love that you have given us. Thank you for the privilege, for the ministry that you've given to us, this unique ministry that we have in this neighborhood. God, renew our convictions to grow in the ministry of mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name.